real quick. So Bailey's speaking today. Joyce is going to speak next week. She's going to give her testimony, and I'm going to give my testimony the week after that. So the next few Sundays will be the testimony. So if you want to hear our stories, this is it. And there's some pretty exciting stuff in this thing, so hopefully you guys want to hear. All right, Dave, here you go. It's all you, bro.
Story time.
Hey, guys.
Let me just start off by telling you a little about myself. I'm from Pittsburgh. Yeah. So when I was born, I had two stepsisters and a half sister that lived with their mom. And then my mom, I had an older sister. So it was an interesting family. Let's just say we weren't the most wealthy of families. I know whenever we were growing up, like, we couldn't, like, buy a house, and we couldn't really even rent a house. I don't even know what agreements there were, but basically, what we would do is we would stay in these houses, but people would come and see them all the time. So if they wanted to, like, rent or buy them or whatever, they would just take them, and we would have to move. Yeah, it was ridiculous. So, growing up, we'd always have these people coming to our house, deciding whether they want to take our house from us. So, like, it was always, like, a traumatizing experience. People were like, oh, look, I love the kitchen. And I was like, this house is haunted. And me and my sister, we would try to, like, set traps for people, like, Home Alone style. It was always so bad. But, some of you guys can, like, relate to this. We moved around a lot. When I was in elementary school, we moved even more before I got in elementary school, but when I was in elementary school, I went to 5 different elementary schools. I mean, out of 6 years, that's a lot of moving, right? So, the thing is that after a while, I had every single move, I had a harder and harder time making friends. And I forgot to mention, whenever I turned, 7, my dad left. He wasn't a very good dad at all. He's actually a criminal. When I say he's a criminal, I mean he's actually wanted in several states in America. He wasn't a good dad. He didn't really take care of us at all. And he left when I was, 7. So it was just my mom taking care of all 3 of us. Now I have a brother. I have a younger brother, too. I forgot to mention him. So, now it's just my mom raising all 3 of us, and we had to go and live in my grandparents' trailer for a while. So it was all 3 kids, my mom, my grandparents, living in a little trailer. And through all this, it was some difficult times. My mom was always working, trying to support 3 kids. And every time we moved, it was harder and harder for me to make friends. I know a lot of you guys have moved a lot, so you know what that's like, right? So by the time I got to junior high, I wasn't even sure how to make friends anymore. And I was the weird kid that was really small and totally awkward in every way. You guys know, everyone has in this school at least one kid who's really weird. Homeschool kid knows what I'm talking about. I'm kidding. So, junior high was not a bucket of fun for me, because I didn't have actually any friends, because I was basically how it worked in my junior high was if you don't want to be picked on, if you get picked on, you just find someone else to pick on, and then you're like, oh, look, you can pick on that kid, and they stop being picked on. Do you guys ever see that before?
No.
Okay, well, that's what it was like in my junior high. So, basically, I was on the bottom of the totem pole. So if anybody hung out with me, they would just be mocked. So nobody hung out with me, nobody talked to me. On the school bus, no one would even, there's only a few seats available when I got there. But, that's where the big kids were, and they didn't want me to sit there. So I'd have, half the time, I'd have to sit on the ground. in the school bus on the way to school because no one would let me sit with them. And then I couldn't even physically sit down because they would push me around because I was really small. And, like, it's not even, like, here. Because here, you guys are, like, on these big
charter buses.
But this is, like, a school bus, and this is Pittsburgh. So it's always snowy. It's always wet. All the time. So the floors were always soaked and wet and slushy and dirty. So that's where I had to sit. And so, like, it was pretty miserable just going on the bus. And, like, they would just call me names all the time. And then, like, in class, I had a hard time because I'm not a very good learner. So I'd always get in trouble in school. And then kids would start fights with me because, like, if you can be the stupid kid, you can... You're, like, cooler. So I was in suspension all the time for getting in fights. Because kids would just come up and pick fights with me. I don't even know who they are, but they would just pick fights with me. So, needless to say, like, I just dreaded every moment of school. And at this stage, like, the only friend that I had in my house was my sister. Because, like, she's only, like, a year older than me, and we went through all these hard times together. But when we got to junior high, she went with her friends. So, like, at home, when I got home, I just followed my parents all the time. And my siblings, like, my sister didn't want to talk to me. My brother was just trying to get me in trouble all the time. So, like, it got to the point where I dreaded being at home, and I dreaded being at school, and I dreaded, pretty much every moment of my life. And I didn't even have any privacy. I didn't even have my brother was in the room all the time. But, like, I mean, I had to share a room with my brother. So, like, I never got any privacy, and I, like, dreaded every moment of my life. But I always told myself, I was like, if I just had some people that were friends with me, I'd be happy. Like, if someone thought I was cool and wanted to hang out with me and talk to me, I would be happy. If I could just get a girlfriend, if I could find a girl that likes me and wanted to be my girlfriend, I'd be happy. Does that make sense? If that's what I just tell myself every day, like, I'd just be imagining what it would be like to have friends and what it would be like to have a girlfriend. And, like, this is just, like, what was going through my mind all the time. Like, I just hated everything about my life. And I just couldn't wait for it to be over. Like, I didn't even want to be alive. Like, I hated every moment of my life. And I was just like, one day, like, if I start getting friends and if I start getting girlfriends, like, I'll finally be happy. So, some of you guys know, like, in junior high, I grew a lot. I was in 7th grade, I was, like, around 4'3", and I weighed 75 pounds. So that's small. There's not many people here that weigh under 75. Anyone here weigh under 75 pounds? Joe and Brian's son. That's wonderful. Thank you. How much do you weigh, Emmanuel? Ah, it's okay, don't worry about it. Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I was small. I was 4'3", but then I started eating and eating and eating, and I grew, like, 2 feet in 2 years. Like, at the beginning of 7th grade, I was shorter than every 6th grader in the entire school, which was horrifying. But then, whenever I got to high school, I was 5'10". So I grew a lot, and I weighed 150 pounds. So I gained, like, 75 pounds and grew, like, 2 feet in 2 years. So...
Are you kidding?
No. Basically, I'd go to the lunchroom, I would get one lunch, I would get another entire lunch, I would get an extra entree, and then I would get 2 iced teas and then a couple snack pies every day. And then I would go home, and I would get one of those family-sized dinners, and I would eat that. And I'd get a family-sized box of 44 fish sticks, and I would eat it. And I would go home, and I'd get, like, one of those 20-something packs of pierogies, Mrs. P's, and I would eat the whole thing. So, like, I started growing, and I started getting bigger. And then this amazing thing happened. girls thought that I was cute.
I know you're like, what?
I don't believe it, David.
What?
It's true.
What?
There was a time when it was true. I didn't always have this lovely beard to bring the ladies in, but at this point, I had no beard, and some girls thought I was a little cute. So they started like, oh, hey, David, yeah, hey, David. And then high school's a lot bigger place than junior high. So I started having friends. I mean, they were actually really sucky friends, but they were friends. They would talk to me. They would be associated with me. So I was like, yeah, I'm having friends. This is awesome. Then I started dating. And I thought myself as not a jerk, but I was a jerk. And, like, I was, like, dating, like, different girls, like, every week. I know I'm a jerk. I'm sorry. But, like, every week I'd be dating a different girl, like, or whatever, and, like, I was trying to find the right one, and, like, whatever. I don't know. But, basically, I was just like, yeah, this is great. Like, all these girls like me. I have friends. Like, and then I was just evaluating my life. Because this is all I thought about for 3 years in junior high. I was like, all I need is friends and girlfriends, then I'll be happy. And then I was like, thinking about it, and I wasn't happy at all. I wasn't any more happy than I was when I was miserable and dreading every moment of my life. I had people to talk to, and I had girlfriends, but it didn't change anything. So I don't know if you guys have ever listened. Has anyone ever listened to any music from the 90s? I watched any movies from the 90s for the most part. So, if you guys know, what from those songs and movies, what is it that really makes people happy? Love. And what kind of love?
Love.
True love. Sorry, guys. So, like, everyone's like, if you really want to be happy, you need true love. You need to find that right person. So I'm just like, that's what I need. Like, I realized pretty quickly, I was like, these girlfriends and these friends aren't really going to make me happy. But I really need to find, like, a true love, someone I can really be happy with. I need to find someone to make me happy. That's what everybody always says, right? Right? Like, movies, I need to find someone to make me happy. So, but you know what? I started dating this one girl. And we kept dating. And we did it for a long time. We said that we loved each other. We did. We're like, I love you so much. And now this is not very easy to admit. And I'll deny it in the court of law. But whenever I was 15, I asked her and we decided we were going to get married. I know. I was like, I found my true love. Like, this is awesome. This is what I always wanted. I don't want to let this go. So we decided we were going to get married. And you know what? It was not what I expected. It was weird because we just fought all the time. We had problems. She didn't make me happy. And at this point, like, we've dated for over a year. And I'm just like, I don't get it. I've done everything to be happy. I found friends. They were really sucky friends, and I ditched them and tried to find better friends that weren't quite as terrible. I've had girlfriends, and that didn't work, so I found my true love. Like, why am I not happy?
It's her, not you.
No, it was, oh, a little bit of both, I guess. So, I was like, why am I not happy? I don't understand. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. I was just like, what else is there? What else is there that's going to make me happy if none of this stuff can make me happy? Even though I was not wealthy at any means, I knew that money was not going to make me happy. Have you ever seen rich people? They're just as miserable, even more so than poor people. I knew that drugs weren't the answer. I saw what drugs did to people. And alcohol, I did to my own dad. They didn't make him happy. He's one of the most beautiful people ever. He looks like he's 97 now. So, like, what is there? And I came to the conclusion, on thinking about it for a long time, that there wasn't anything that was ever going to make me happy. I was just going to feel empty and sad my whole life. So I decided I was going to kill myself. I didn't. Now I'm not saying that you, like, if you're struggling with something like this, please talk to somebody. But people who talk to people want help. And I didn't want help. I didn't talk to anybody because I didn't want any help from anybody. I didn't want anybody to know. I didn't want anybody to stop me. So I decided, like, I'm just going to kill myself. Like, I don't want to be in this life anymore. Like, I thought about all the different ways, but I didn't want to do it halfway and then have to live with the repercussions. So, like, I was like, I'm going to kill myself. And through this process, as I'm thinking about how I'm going to do it and just wrapping up my life, in my own eyes, my friend's friend, who I may have dated. I broke off the engagement and broke up with this girl that I was engaged with. That was like a year and a half or so. I cussed her out really loudly in the cafeteria. It's the last thing I ever saw to her. Said to her.
What?
I'm not gonna repeat it.
Not to know.
But. Like, now I'm moving on. Like, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. But, I dated my friend's friend. But my friend's 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 friend invited me to a picnic.
What?
And as you guys know, I like picnics, considering how much I've grown in the past couple of years at this point. So I'm like, of course I'll come to a picnic. And, it was a youth group picnic. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. But it was weird. Because the people there, they were nice to me, but it wasn't because I impressed them. It wasn't because I was funny. It wasn't because of how cool I was. There wasn't really any reason. They were just nice to me. They cared about me, like, immediately. And, like, I was like, I don't know what's going on here. But I like it. I like being here. I like coming to these youth group. So, I found out what kind of church they were in, and I was like, I'm gonna come visit again. Like, but I knew my dad would not be happy about it, so like I was researching online, and they were saying something about their view of salvation, and I was like, well, what's their view of salvation? And I went online that Thursday after I first went to the youth group, and it was explaining the gospel, and it said like Jesus died to pay the penalty for my sin. And I've heard a lot of stuff. I mean, in America, you hear Christian stuff all the time. It doesn't really mean anything, but you hear it. So, and I always thought of, like, him, like, dying for the world or whatever, but I never really thought about him dying for me, and I was like, that's not my experience with love. That, like, someone like God would love me so much that he would sacrifice his son. Like, I was like, people who love me, like, leave me. Like, my dad, he left. Like, I was engaged, and that's done. Like, these people hardly even love me. Now you're telling me that the God of the universe loves me? This is what's run through my head. I'm like, I can't believe this. I don't believe it. And then I was reading, it says, like, God loved me so much, he sent his only son to die on the cross so that he could have a relationship with me. And at this point, like, I'm just like, no. There's no way that this kind of relationship exists. There's no way that there's a God who actually wants to have a relationship. Nobody really wants to have a relationship with me. So there's a God that wants to have a relationship with me so much, he sent his son that was sinless to die for me? I was like, there's no way that there's a relationship that I can have a love like that. I want love. But I'm never going to find a love that, like that. And I was just thinking, I was like, I would do anything to have a real relationship with that. And then it said, online, it's like, You can have a relationship like this. You just need to pray and accept Jesus. And then it just had like a little simple prayer on the website. And I did. I prayed and I became a Christian right there on the internet on Thursday. And I can tell you what, I remember there's a stupid song. I don't even know how it goes. And it's like, blah, 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 blah. Oh, I'll become a Christian. And it's like, oh, the grass is greener and all this stuff is made new and all this stuff. And I was like, the grass isn't greener, but I sure like it more. Like, I just, everything changed at that point. Like, I now had a relationship with somebody who loved me. And, like, I got the youth group, and I was, like, trying to learn everything that I could. And I got a Bible, and I was trying to read it. And I was like, I need to become a Christian. I need to become, like, a really good Christian. And so I tried to make as many changes. I was like, at this point in my life, I swore a lot. When I say a lot, I mean if I had a full sentence, there are usually 3 or 4 swear words in and amongst them. People don't really talk like that in Beijing, but at that point in Pittsburgh, where I live, that's how some people talk. So there was this. So I was like, if I'm a Christian, I can't swear. And at this point, like I was like, I want to grow. It wasn't all very well directed at times. A lot of the stuff that I was like, I need to grow is very surfacey stuff. Like, I was just trying to change my behavior. But, like, I was just praying, and but it was good, so I was making efforts to go towards God. And I was just trying to change my life. I was actually growing a lot, like, trying to learn, like, what the Bible had to say. It always made me think of, do you guys remember the story when Jesus was teaching and that lady breaks in? Comes in and he's like, she's washing his feet with her tears in her hair, and she's like pouring perfume, and he's like on his feet, and like, what are you doing? That's like really expensive stuff. Like, what are you doing? Wash it. Like, what's going on? He's like, look, she has a lot of sins, but she loves me a lot. Like, if you guys understood what she was forgiven for. If they understood what they were forgiven for, this is how they would behave too. Like, I just knew that I was really broken. And I knew that, like, God did something really big for me. And I wanted to know Him. Like, I was, like, and yes, like, I grew, like, the first year, I changed night and day. I mean, it slowed down when I started getting to the really deep stuff. Like, the heart issues. Like lust and anger and just idolatry. And as I started breaking down that stuff, like what I was really worshiping for my life, like my growth slowed down, but you know, I kept trying to change for God. And you know how much of I regret? None of it. I made a lot of sacrifices to be where I am right now. My life right now, I love it. I really love my life. I love what God's doing in my life right now. I love getting to hang out with you guys all the time. But you know, I did make sacrifices to be here. I did make sacrifices. Like my wife upstairs, some of you may know Evelyn. Not Evelyn's son. But blonde Evelyn. Did you know, all those relationships I had that were horrible, do you think it was easy to have a godly relationship with my wife? I made a lot of sacrifices. It was really hard. Like, the way the world does relationships is not the way I wanted my marriage to be. It was not how I wanted my marriage to look. I wanted my marriage to please God, and nothing about my dating life before I became a Christian pleased God in any way. So I decided, not because I was holy, but because I knew what I was really like. I said, Evelyn, we're not going to kiss until we get engaged. Not because I'm holy and kissing is evil, or because that's what good Christians would do. I just knew that if we started kissing, I would be able to control myself. Was that hard? Yeah. People are like, well, I couldn't do that. Exactly. The only way it happened is because God did a work in my life and changed me. And I had a lot of people pouring in and making sure that we were keeping on top of that. I went to tons of people. I went to my parents who weren't really concerned about my purity. And I said, hey, whenever we come to visit you this weekend, I do not want to be alone with Evelyn at the house. I need your help. Did they want to do that? Did they want to like babysit us? No. But I didn't want to be alone with her because I knew that I couldn't handle it. Was that hard? Of course. It was incredibly hard. But it was worth every second of it. Because I have an amazing wife that loves God upstairs. And she cares about me. And does she make me happy? No. Because, yes. Is she wonderful? Yeah. But guess what? Her job is not to make me happy. If you're waiting for a girlfriend or a wife to make you happy, you will never, ever truly be happy. Our happiness comes from God. And if God's not making you happy, you're not going to be happy. Because you were created to be in relationship with God. And if you are not, there's a hole that's never going to be filled until you have a relationship with God. I tried to fill it with everything I could imagine. I was observing the lives of everyone around me, looking for something that would make me happy, and nothing ever made them happy. And I was looking through my own life and trying to fill it with anything that made me happy. Like video games, learning, like all the dumbest things you can imagine, and nothing made me happy. Being smarter than other people didn't make me happy. To girlfriends, friends, yeah, they were great in some ways, but they didn't really make me happy because what I was searching for and what I needed was God. And these sacrifices that I made to have a relationship with God, they're worth it. One of the hardest ones was I had all these, some of you guys may have heard this, I had a bunch of science scholarships because I was really good at science. And I had all these scholarships for doing chemical engineering at one of these like top engineering schools. And then when I was at the end of my junior year and I was making plans to go off to college, God got a hold of my life and he's like, David, this is what I want for you. I want you to leave everything behind and go overseas and do my work. And I was like, I know God's called me overseas. I don't know where, I don't know what he wants for you to, but I know it's true. And I know that I'm gonna get into ministry. That's what I want to do. I want to do ministry for my life. And then I told my family, and I told my science teachers, and I told all the people that I was dropping all the scholarships. I wasn't going to learn science, but I was going to study the Bible. You guys can guess as to some of their reactions. We're less than enthusiastic. But you know what? I'm so glad that I made this sacrifice. Are all you guys just called to make the same sacrifices that I made? No, I mean, everyone's life is different. Everyone's calling is different. But when you do get that call, it's worth any sacrifice that you make to follow God. No matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody thinks, it's always worth it to sacrifice for God's call in your life. It might seem stupid, but it's not. I don't regret one thing that I've given up. Some of the things were really super hard, but I don't regret any of it. So, let me see. So, do you guys have some questions for me? I went through some of the stuff kind of fast, but anybody have any? Yeah.
What happened
to your
dad?
He left. I met him again, the last time I saw him, I was 7 or 8. And then he came back. When I was 13, I saw him again. He had married again. He had 2 stepkids and a 3rd child, which was my half-brother. And I was like, oh, great, you live in Tennessee and you have 3 kids. That's wonderful. And then That was a lot. And I saw him like 2 days after my 13th birthday, and that was the last time I saw him. Yeah, it's not the last thing I've heard from him, but that's the last time I saw him.
Are your siblings Christian?
That's a super good question. Well, whenever I became a Christian, I was constantly trying to share the gospel with my family. My family's actually Catholic. Often there's something bad, like Catholic people are bad, but not all Catholic people are Christians. And what really comes down to is your relationship with God. Not whether, you know what I mean? So it's because of the language, it's really hard to communicate, like, and to know who's a Christian and who's not a Christian. But, like, I was just sharing the gospel with them all the time. Like, I was like, Johnny, when you're a Christian, I was like, Johnny, come here. That's my little brother's name. I was like, come here, you need to, let me read this to you. So I went back to that website that I read the gospel on. I was like, here, let me read this to you. So I'm just sitting there, I don't even know what to say. So I'm like, let's go on Google and read the gospel so you can understand it. Like, did I have any answers for him? Not really. But, like, I was like, he needs to know this. And you know what? I've been praying for my family and praying for my brother. You know, my brother right now, he loves God. He's a youth pastor in Pittsburgh. As the rest of my family, it's a little hard to know. Because they're, like, in that gray zone where I don't really know where the relationship is with that God. I mean, I try to talk to him about it all the time. But, they definitely changed a lot over the last couple of years. Yeah. Oh, sorry. There's a hand up here somewhere.
I don't know, he stole stuff? I don't know, kid.
Oh, well, he did that. He repaired appliances, like televisions and refrigerators. Yeah, he did some weird stuff. Like, you'd see, when I was like my age, not my age, like 21-ish, he would sell garden tools door to door, and then he would go and steal their tools, like, the next day. And he would just go and sell the same ones to other people. But, yeah. And stuff like that. So, yeah, any other questions? Yeah.
What was your first job?
My first job? My first real job or my first, like, job?
Job.
When I was 11, I used to ref soccer for a couple years. But it was, like, under the table kind of a thing. My first, like, real job was McDonald's.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. Yep.
It was pretty awesome. It was right off the line, Route 30, which is, like, a major highway that goes from one side of the country to the other, and the Pennsylvania Turnpike. They intersected, and there's an exit right at, and there's McDonald's right off that exit. So, needless to say, it was a very busy McDonald's. And I worked the grills. So I was making hundreds of hamburgers an hour by myself. I was pretty good. It was so boring. I was like, oh, please be done. And you'd be surprised how some people eat a lot of McDonald's by themselves. Like, there'd be people come and they'd order like 3 meals worth of stuff and 1 drink. And it wasn't because they were sharing a drink with somebody. Any other questions? And yes, I was a very bad soccer ref. My eyes are not very good. And I was like, yeah, it's this way. And the parents were like, what? I was like, it's fine. When I first came to China, 2 years ago, I came and I was like, oh, cool, it's China. And then I came to CCC that week. And that was like right before the school year, 2 years ago. Yeah, this is my first trip. Like, this is the one I'm on now. Yeah?
When you work at McDonald's and you get free hamburgers every day?
Yes, I did. So, the deal was at this McDonald's is that it's still one of the cool ones where you just get as much as you want. You just have to write it down. So I'd be like, ooh, crispy chicken Big Mac. Ooh, yum. And like I just make all these weird things. I gained 10 pounds in 2 weeks. It was so gross. And then I went to my first camp. It's the only time I ever went to camp because I was 17 already. So I was one of the oldest kids. It was a high school camp. And it was awesome. It was this Christian camp, and we were learning the Bible, and we were just hanging out and playing all these sweet games all the time. And I just loved it. And they just had homemade food the whole week. I lost all 10 pounds. And then when I got back, I couldn't eat quite as much before. He really doesn't like McDonald's, in case anyone was curious. Or really likes Christian camp, I don't know.
Hi.
Any other questions? Who's next? Yeah.
How did you realize
that? You know, that's a funny thing. I know it doesn't really reflect our lives as it is now, but when I was in college and studying, going overseas, I don't know what you want to call it. I remember I was really interested in Japan. Because I studied Japanese for 4 years in high school.
Ohio.
Not speaking.
And even though it doesn't really affect our lives, I just remember to play this underground church game. I don't know. Huh? In America, where you'd sneak Bibles in past the police.
What?
And share the gospel with people. And I was that's what we did. It was one of the games. And I don't know why. I started thinking about China. I wasn't what I was really thinking of doing for China, but I just it got me interested in it. Yeah.
What kind of traps did you set?
Oh, when I was a kid? we were quite horrible children. Truly horrible. We would do mean things to it's even worse what we did to the babysitters and stuff. But we would just set toothpaste on the door handle so you couldn't see it. So every time they grab a door, it'd be toothpaste. And we set little trip wires and stuff like that. And we'd set up these big elaborate ones that never worked because they were too complicated. And they trip on this and knock over a thing and knock over something else, but it always break halfway through. It never worked. Our babysitters were even more horrible too. So my mom would always go to work. So there's someone to come to visit us. I remember I was 3 and my sister was 4, and we had this way up on the roof. This secret way up on the roof. So she got up on the roof and I'm on the roof, and the baby was freaking out. And she's how do you get up? She couldn't figure out how to get up there. And we were just mocking her the whole time. They're you're not gonna get it, you're getting so much trouble, blah, blah, blah. And I have a brother who's 1 year old. And then she left. She called my mom, she's I'm leaving! She's sobbing. She's left us alone. She was not a very good babysitter. But we were very cruel children.
You said that you searched up Christianity or something like that. How could you afford a computer but not a house?
When I was about 6, my mom started 5 or 6, she started dating my stepdad. And then whenever I was around 8 or 9, we started renting a house. And then when I was 9 or 10, we bought a house.
Okay.
And the way we afforded computers, my stepdad's brother-in-law, he works for a computer company, and he built us one for free. Well, he built us several for free as the years went on.
That's one way to get a computer.
Yeah, so the computer was a very low cost of nothing.
Life verse growing up.
Hmm?
What was your life verse growing up as? After you became a Christian?
My favorite verse would definitely have to be Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves is the work of God. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the work that he prepared beforehand. That's the whole gospel, wrapped in to, three verses. I always just remember whenever I'm having tough times, I have difficult, things I'm struggling with, that like God already prepared all these great things for me to do, and I just need to trust Him, and then He'll help me accomplish these things. I knew that I wanted to make an impact for the kingdom of God. And, like, it's really often, like, it really helps me a lot just to remember that. Yeah, thank you. What? Oh, thank you.
What website did you go on when you...
Yeah, I have no idea. I went to some of the weirdest things. Like, I couldn't even find it if I wanted to. I'm sure there's lots of similar information in other places, but I just want... This is like if I found some on page, I click links to another one, to another one, to another one. So, like, it wasn't like I just... Found a server website.
Kind of like
Yeah?
Has everything been perfect since you've been a Christian? Like, has everything been good? And if not, what has been, like, your biggest, like, challenges?
Yes, everything has been great. I'm just kidding. You know, I've had a lot of struggles. One of my biggest ones... I mean, I've had several, but, the biggest one, like, I had, especially, like, in high school time, once I became a Christian, like, I really jumped into it. Like, I'm just like, I want to, like, really live for God. But then it got to the point where about a year or so after I became a Christian, like, I was really struggling because I was like, I saw how much fun everybody else was having. Like, in a relationship with girls and, like, doing all this stuff and going to parties. Like, my school was a big party school, so everybody, like, my high school, like, all the kids went and got drunk and, like, hung out all the time and did all this partying all the time. And I'm like, God, like, it sucks that, like, you saved me now. You could have just let me live a couple more years like this. But this is what I was really struggling with. Like, I was like, can't you just let me live like this? And, like, enjoy myself and then call me to be a Christian so that I could have had some enjoyment and now I have all these rules on my head. Has anyone ever felt like that? At least somewhat? I know that I definitely have. And, like, that was a really big deal for me. I had a really hard time getting over it. It was almost like, God, now I can't enjoy my life. I just have all these rules around my neck. And they're too much for me to bear. And, like, in that time, I was really struggling, with how to, like, really live for God. Like, I was, like, really legitimately angry with Him. And, like, it took a while, but actually, that's when I was, like, the very end of my senior year and into the summer and, like, even still a little bit up into until I went to Bible college. So when I got there, I was struggling with my relationship with God. Everyone there was like, I became a Christian when I was 7 months old. And I was like, what the heck? And then, like, I was in Bible class, and they're like, okay, you guys all know the story in Romans, right? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, where's Romans? What's Romans? Is that the book? Okay, good. Well, there it is. So, like, I didn't really know anything. I was, like, struggling with my relationship with God. And, like, it wasn't this way for the whole college, but this one class, it was, like, a big one, the freshman intro classes, everyone gave, like, a quick 2-minute testimony, and every single person in the entire class was saved before they were, like, 7 years old. And I was like, hey, kidding me, there's, like, 50 people in this room, and I'm the only one. And then it came to me, I was one of the last people. I was saved a year and a half ago, and I just started reading the Bible, and I like it. Thank you. So I was like, I don't even know what God has me here for. Like, I don't even know what I'm doing. And you know what? Through those relations that I made and, like, just through getting the scripture, like, I realized the truth of what the Christian life really is. Like, I was viewing it as these rules. Like, these are all the things that you should do. Are these all the things that you should not do? Because they're bad, but God wants you to do this way. But it's really saying, look, I created you to live for me. And all these sins, it's not a rule of things you can't do. It's a list of things that will kill you. Because sin, it literally kills you. It stops your relationship with me. Sin has separated us from God eternally. The only reason why we can have a relationship with now is because Jesus Christ died on the cross. That's the only way we can have a relationship with God right now. Because our sin has separated us from Him. And even now, our sin gets in the way of our relationship with God. He's saying, look, this stuff is death to you. I created you to live for me. I created you to live. It's like he's saying, look, this is a map of landmines out here on the way to CCC, between your house and CCC. There are lots of landmines, and they will explode and kill you. No. Hey, don't step on any of these. But I really like this way to go to CCC. Okay, there's a landmine there, and you will die. But that's my favorite way to walk. And from that perspective, you're like, that's totally stupid. Why would you walk there? But I love it. Look how much fun that way is. He's like, no, it will literally kill you. But I like it. It's ridiculous, but it's the same exact thing. He's saying, look, this stuff is death to you. It might seem great. Living in lust might seem great, but it is death to you. It will stop relationship with me. It will destroy your life. The reason why I asked you not to is that I want you to live abundantly. I want to bless your life. I want to know you. I want you to know me. That's why God put all these rules in our life. It's because He wants to love us. He wants us to love Him and be blessed by Him. But the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. He wants us to enjoy Him. And that's stopping that relationship. We can enjoy the Creator of the universe that wants to bless us abundantly. And things are stopping from us. A list of, like, Him helping us get through that is actually a blessing. And I just saw it as a curse. That was like a big deal for me. Like, it was really hard for me to learn that lesson. But you know what? I did learn it. And, like, whenever I see these like commandments in the Bible that are hard to follow, because I've had a lot of struggles through my years. But like whenever I see the truth in Scripture, I know it's because God wants to know me, and not because He wants to curse me with all these rules and these burdens that He never intended me to carry. So yeah.
What Bible college did you go to?
I went to Lancaster Bible College in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. It was a pretty awesome college. I loved going there. Woo-hoo!
You still went to this?
No, I live in China. It's really far away. I'm just kidding. Yeah, in the summer I always go and hang out with my old professors and friends that still live there. Yes, I am friends with some of my professors. They're actually super cool.
Yeah.
Physics. I didn't take any science or math in college. I tested out of that in high school. One of my professors got married this summer.
Nice.
Yeah, I actually saw him the day after he got off his honeymoon. I was like, can you hang out with me and have lunch with me when I come visit? And he's like, I'll be on my honeymoon then, but I guess the one day I'll be back, I can hang out with you. So we had breakfast when he got back from his honeymoon. It was cool.
Do you like physics?
Do I like physics? I don't want to answer that.
Yes! Yes!
College.
I may have enjoyed it so much.
I won't hate you that much for it. So this is Dave in a nutshell. There's some things that he said today that probably a lot of you guys can identify with, and you probably experienced that a little bit in your own lives. And once again, the reason why we're up here talking, giving our testimonies, is because we want you to know where we're coming from, and that we're broken people. We're broken, and we've all come to Christ in different ways, but God has absolutely made Himself real to us. And sometime, at some point in our lives, there's been a change,
a change has called us to trust in Him, to trust His name, to really believe that He is real, that He's not just a concept, not just an idea, but actually God. You know what I mean? And it's changed our perspective on life. It's not just changed our perspective, it's changed how we view life. And the things that we used to live for, we don't live for those things anymore. Does that make sense? I don't know what's funny over there, guys, but I think what I'm saying is pretty important, pretty straight up. I just want to take time to pray for Dave. And I appreciate you giving questions, an opportunity for them to ask questions. If you have more questions, you come and talk to Dave and ask him. And as we do the next couple weeks, we want to give you guys an opportunity to ask questions and to see just kind of where we're coming from. And we're hoping that this will move into like our small groups so that we'll be able to share. But we will see that, hey, you know what? We all struggle. We're all starting at the cross. The ground is level. Everybody's got a meal. At the cross, everybody starts at the same place. And it's there where we find unity. It's there where we find grace. It's there where we find, hey, this guy can be my brother. We didn't grow up in the same place. We didn't grow up the same. Trust me, I tell my testimony, you'll understand. We didn't grow up the same, but there's one thing that unites us and binds us together, and that's the love of Christ. Let me pray for you, bro. If any of you guys want to come here and lay hands on Dave, you can. I'm going to pray for him. Father God, thank you, Lord, for Dave. Thank you for his life. Thank you, Lord, for the gift that you give him, the mind, just how smart he is, Lord. Lord, I thank you, God, that even when he was younger, when he didn't seem like he had any friends or things like that, Lord, that you were watching him, that you called him your own, even at that time, Lord, you were drawing him into yourself. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your hand of protection that's been upon his life. I thank you for all the good things and all the struggles that he's gone through, because it's made him into the person that he is today. Lord, I pray for him, God, that you would touch him and touch his life, that you would continue to draw him to yourself. God, I ask, Lord, that, as he said, that nothing that he gives up, Lord, would be in vain, that you would come in and replace everything, every sacrifice, Lord. We know there is no sacrifice that we can give up that is not worth you, Lord. There's nothing that we can give up that you're not. Lord, you're worthy. You're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our lives. So, Father, we just pray, Lord, over him today. We ask, oh, God, that you would touch him, touch his family, touch Evelyn. Lord, be with them, guide them in the direction that they should go. Lord, let your hand of protection and power rest upon their lives. Lord, and we pray, Lord, for any of his family members that may not know you, Lord, that you would bring them into yourself, God. That you would, just bring them into the knowledge of the truth and turn their faces and their eyes toward you. I pray for relationships that may be broken in his family, Lord. I ask, God, that you would touch them and heal them, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. Heal them, oh God. And Lord, I just ask that you continue each day to glorify your kingdom, to raise up this generation, to minister to youth and to people, even adults, Lord, to minister to them and share your love, Lord, the love that you've given him and the love that you've shown him. Share that with everybody he comes into contact with. Thank you, Lord, for him, and thank you for his life. May your name be exalted through him. In the name of Jesus, we pray.